When people experience the love in the form of mercy and forgiveness from God, they are actually led or they are associated with the mission of God. So here we can say that mercy and mission are correlated. The book of the prophet Isaiah talks about his lofty vocation as a prophet. And it started with an encounter with the Holy One, the utterly other. And who is that utterly other? That is God. And what characteristic of God did the prophet Isaiah at first hand experience? The holiness of God. So when Isaiah saw God in a lofty throne, adorned and served by the cherubim and the seraphim, which are the angels, he experienced in himself the holiness of God. And this was expressed by one of the cherubims when he said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." What do you think is the reason why the word holy is repeated 3 times? And we also do it in the Mass before the consecration. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The reason is this. In the Hebrew language, they do not have superlative. For example, dark. So the superlative of dark is darkest. So there is no such word darkest in Hebrew language. So how do they form the superlative? By repeating the word 3 times. So holy, holy, holy means God is the holiest person, holiest creator. No one could surpass God's holiness. That is the meaning of the 3 words, holy, holy, holy. Does it make sense? Okay. So with the holiness of God and his gloriousness, Isaiah was enamored. Do you know what the word enamored is? From en and amore, amor. Amor in Latin, in English, means love. So Isaiah was attracted and enamored by the holiness of God. And who does not want to be attracted with the holy person? Remember when the Holy Father comes to visit us? So each one of us would get nearer. Oh, Holy Father, please, don't leave us. We have a selfie, selfie, etc., etc. We want that his holiness will contaminate us. This is the very experience of Isaiah in our first reading. He was not only enabled, but he was awed by the holiness of God and the gloriousness of God. And what is his reaction? He tried to reflect on himself. And since God is the most holy creator, and he is a sinner, and he said, "I live among people with an unclean lips. I am too of unclean lips." So in other words, I am not worthy. I am a sinner. But God took the initiative and told one of the cherubims to put that ember into his tongue, and he was purged. He was cleansed. So even this, my dear brothers and sisters, the word purgatory is even implied in the Bible. When many Protestants would say, "Can you find the word purgatory in the Bible?" Here, the word purged, what does it mean? Cleansing. So from now on, Isaiah, you are now cleansed. Your sins are purged. And then God, Yahweh, said, whom will I send? And since Isaiah experienced the mercy, the forgiveness of God, he was actually led, or he was associated with his mission. What was the answer of Isaiah? Here am I, Lord. Send me. So from that experience of holiness, he was enamored, he was awed by the holiness of God, he is now a missionary. He now goes with a mission of proclaiming God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, and God's holiness. The same is true in our second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. St. Paul, as an apostle, was proclaiming the tradition that was handed on to them. And what is this episode? That Jesus, the Son of God, died for the sins of humanity. And he did not finish his work mission of saving men through his own death. He rose again on the third day, according to scriptures. So this is the main point of Paul's proclamation. And this Jesus appeared to Cephas, which is the Greek word of rock, Peter, Simon Peter, and the rest of the apostles, and James. And take note that St. Paul mentioned himself, "I am an abnormal one." So by stating himself as an abnormal, this shows the humility of St. Paul as an apostle. And take note also, my dear brothers and sisters, that he said in this letter, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." In other words, the grace of God has never been ineffective to me. It is by the grace of God that I have become an apostle, that I have become a missionary. So here, like the prophet Isaiah, Paul also experienced mercy, forgiveness, compassion, special love from God. And this special love led him also to his mission. He was associated with his mission because he experienced that special love, mercy, forgiveness. Dear brothers and sisters, this is not an odd experience, because we all experience the love of God. Had we been forgiven? Had we received so many blessings? But what do we do? Are we challenged to become missionaries? Do we feel that we are associated or we are led by God through this experience of His special love to us, to also work, to proclaim His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, because we too have experienced it firsthand? This is the challenge of the reading. Now, the call of Peter on his boat. So Peter and his company, his brother Andrew, and their partners, James and John, were all night fishing. They were so tired. You know, the work of a fisherman is so difficult. You have to extract a lot of energies. They're tired and hungry. They work all night long. And here, Jesus encountered them. But take note also, my dear brothers and sisters, of the encounter of Jesus and Peter. What did Jesus do? He chose one of the boats, and that boat belonged to Peter. Many commentators say that Jesus, in choosing the boat of Peter, entered the very life of Peter. And there, he manifested who he was in a special way to Peter. And Peter sensed that there is something unique in this guy, Jesus Christ, that he's not just an ordinary person, and that something unique is his holiness. And not only that, Peter also witnessed the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, when Jesus said, "Lower your nets for a catch." Out of obedience, Peter did that, and there was that miraculous catch. A show of Jesus' power, a show of Jesus' authority. And what was the reaction of Peter? "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinner." Just like Paul, just like Isaiah in our first reading, Peter was struck by the holiness of Jesus Christ. But it was not just a mere struck, surprise, awe. It was to lead Peter to his mission. It was to lead Peter to his job as a missionary. Because after that, Jesus told him, "Do not be afraid, Peter. I know that you are weak as a human person. You have all your flaws as a human person. But don't bother, because from now on, I will make you a fisher of men." This is his mission. Started with an encounter with Jesus, being enamored, rejected by Jesus' holiness and mercy. Again, my dear brothers and sisters, like Isaiah, Paul, and Peter in our gospel, we have experienced the love, the mercy, the forgiveness, and most especially, my dear brothers and sisters, the friendship. Did we really claim that Jesus is our friend and is offering his friendship to us? "Here I am for you. You are my friend. I do not call you slave. You are my friend." That friendship should lead us to our mission. Mission of propagating his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. We don't need to go to Africa or to South America, because in our own homes, we are called to become missionary. We have a mission to do. In our own work, we have a mission to do. There are a lot of people. Just last Monday, I'm exceeding my time. Sorry for, I know I extended a lot. I just want to share with you this experience. I served at the Andre House in downtown Phoenix with Sam Piñato. And after we have served the poor, because the leader there told us that these poor are people, the image of God, make them as our guest. Don't treat them as undignified person, because they too are created into the image of God. And then we were 35 who volunteered. One of the volunteers shared after our service this experience, that he encountered an atheist. One of the homeless there was an atheist. Since she's a Catholic, she said, "Oh, don't worry. I will pray for you. I will pray for you." You know what? The atheist replied, "Please don't bother. I don't need God. Please don't bother." Just imagine. And then said to the volunteer, "Please continue." Because he was asking the name of that person whom he encountered. And he said, no need for you to know my name. No need for you to pray for me. But I said to her, "Please do continue praying for her." A lot of people today do not need God. They don't need God. Atheist, whatever. But we have a mission. We who are touched by the love and the forgiveness of God. It is our mission to propagate His love.